Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Numbers. As always, my name is Will, and this is Ben.
Yes, sir.
And we are going to bring you another exciting episode. This episode, we will recap a little bit of week 8 in the NFL and then go straight into something that you guys don't hear us talking about a lot, hockey. So let's start off. Last week was National Tight Ends Week, sir.
It was.
We saw some tight ends show out, and we also saw some tight ends that surprisingly didn't get in there.
Yep, there were a few of them. It was definitely a week.
It was definitely a weird week for tight ends week. But if we're going to start off, we're going to start off with the Bengals and the Jets. The most epic comeback that could possibly happen for week 8. The Jets got their first win, sir.
To say that I am surprised is beyond minimal in comparison to what I need to say. I don't know what happened in that fourth quarter other than just an incredible meltdown. I think what it was is the Bengals overestimated how much garbage time problems they see a normal team, a normal unbroken, uninjured, undemolished team wouldn't have this problem, I don't think. The Bengals, they're struggling, and you go into a garbage time game. If you're the Bengals, there's no such thing as garbage time. Nothing counts. It's play the game the whole way that way. So my issue here is the Jets capitalized on them slacking off. That first quarter, the first half. And then even the third quarter, they scored, the Bengals did. And they scored in the fourth quarter too. But, they got sloppy. They came out of that third quarter and they were, at that time the Jets only had 16 points on the board. It turned around and gave up 23. And if you're the Bengals and you're going to let that type of stuff happen and, you're going to let that slide, you got to be able to score right back. To put up only 7 points, I get it. You're up big. You don't think you're going to lose the game. And then you start playing sloppy. And to be fair, Breece Hall had a phenomenal game, and he was definitely a key part of what they did. He got himself 2 touchdowns. The dude's average was 7-3, 18 times for 133 yards. I ain't knocking it, but This is the Bengals' failure. This is the Jets coming back and capitalizing on a team who looked at a winless team and said, they can't beat us, even with old Joe Flacco as our quarterback. And, well, they were wrong. And to be fair, we can't forget, Breece Hall also threw a touchdown pass. So
let me be all the way honest and clear. First off, I don't want to bash the Bengals for the first part of this performance. Every team would have slacked up against this Jets team if they were up by as large a margin as the Bengals were. Every single team. There's not one of them that wouldn't have pumped the brakes and tried to give them a little chance. Every team does it, actually. they all give that other team a little reprieve and let them score. Now, the problem is they just let it up too much. They gave them too much of a mercy rule. And this is why I always say, screw the mercy rule. I don't care about sportsmanlike conduct. I don't care about how people are going to respect you in the locker room and all of that. If you can get a touchdown, go for the touchdown. Don't sit there and run up the field just because you're up by three touchdowns and it's still two quarters left. Excuse me, I expect to see 60 points up on this board by the end of this game. If that's the case. So I hate the mercy rule stuff. I hate the fact that every team feels like it's our obligation to try to give the other team a chance or to give them a little reprieve so it doesn't look as bad. That is not good football. I don't care how you look at it, how you try to say, you got to respect the players of the game or the coaches. Screw them. If they are doing horribly, then treat them horribly. It's what I like about the Lions. The Lions don't give no let up. They put BTA all day, and that's exactly what they're supposed to do. We're not about to sit here and act like the only reason that they actually got away with this win is just because the Bengals said, you know what, we got to give them a little air, a little room to breathe. And the Bengals, just like you said, are not that type of team. They are not the type of team where they can just pump the brakes and say, all right, that's enough. They're not that great.
They're not. And I want to say something here. If you look at what the Bengals did statistically, they had a phenomenal game. Joe Flacco, 21-34, 223 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, only got sacked 1 time. Shout out to the offensive line. The running game, P. Ryan had a touchdown. He went 9 for 94. Chase Brown, 12 for 73, got himself a touchdown. Old Joe Flacco running again, 2 for 14 in the touchdown. I'm just saying, you got 5 touchdowns as the Bengals. You are looking like a Joe Burrow-led team almost. And you lose to the worst team in the league. I don't know what really to say here. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase, he had himself a weirdly bad game. He caught 12 of his 19 targets, an insane amount of passes thrown his way. He only got 91 yards. And the concerning part is he didn't find the end zone. T. Higgins did. Chase Brown did, through the air and on the ground. But when I look at this team, they had a really, really good performance, especially with Joe Flacco did enough, right, through the air. But the rushing game, it stepped up 3 different rushing touchdowns from 3 different players, right? So I just, when I look at this and I think to myself, you know, they did just enough. And yet they blew what was probably one of the easiest games that they had. And
sir, I'm telling you, it's because of this mercy rule bull. There is no, you just called it plain and simple. Joe Flacco had a game. This is a game that you would want out of any quarterback in the league right now, regardless of how you want to put it, however old you want to put them, however the Bengals' problems are. Quarterback-wise, running back-wise, wide receiver-wise, 91 yards is a game for any receiver right now.
Not if you have 12 catches for that, sir.
Sir, once again, it is a game, regardless of how many catches, regardless of how many rushes. They had a good game. The problem is they let up off of the gas, and they should not have.
Well, the problem isn't that.
Go ahead.
You talk about Ja'Marr Chase like having a game. He didn't have a game. That's the thing. They were winning on the ground, right? That's where they won. And Joe Flacco
finished out with 91 yards, though, sir. That's the thing.
Sir, when you have 12 catches on 19 targets, no, that's not having a game. That is That is just managing to stay as a relevant target for dump offs. Ja'Marr Chase wasn't doing nothing crazy. He wasn't going long. He wasn't catching it. When you have 12 receptions for 91, sir, that's less than a yard a yard a catch. Your average is sub 1 yards. That's not a game. Here's the thing. Ja'Marr Chase did exactly what Ja'Marr Chase needed to do. He did the one thing that Joe Flacco needed him to do. He drew coverage. This was the biggest thing. He got 19 times he got targeted, and he got 12 of them. So first off, that means you had seven times you didn't catch the ball. And then it really took his teammates to get in the end zone. Ja'Marr didn't have a single touchdown. You know, I would have said, all right, because
he's the main target in the touchdown, sir. If you
look, he is, but this week was not a Ja'Marr Chase having a baller game. This was not. Let's not call this a baller game whenever. I mean, really, if you wanted to get into it, if you wanted to really think about it, I would rather have had Chase Brown's 3 for 32. Through the air as a receiving situation, and he got a touchdown. T. Higgins caught the ball one time, got targeted twice, caught the ball once, 44 yards, and a touchdown. I would rather have that than 12 for 91 for nothing.
You're naming two people that are not the main focus on the team. Right. Chase Brown got in there. Let's be clear, Chase Brown hasn't been getting in there at all for the last 8 years.
He has not.
So, once again, and then T. Higgins, while he is a target, while he is a main target, he is not the focal point of that offense. Ja'Marr Chase is. So, when he has games like this, sir, it's not because he didn't ball out. It's because they're actually doing their job. Teams are actually focusing on the – it's why Justin Jefferson couldn't do anything last year. Justin Jefferson, he had games where he balled out, but it was only when those teams let up off of him.
Right, and this is one of those games where the Jets knew that they had to keep Ja'Marr, so they did. Therefore, when they kept Chase wrapped up, which they did, Chase did not have a baller game. That's my only thing. Chase did not have – he played the game that he needed to do. He did it just enough to be the threat that Joe Flacco needed him to be. But it was the ground game that got this, that could have got this day, could have completed the job. If only their defense hadn't gotten so sloppy and given up so many points in the fourth quarter. I mean, if we want to talk about receivers having good games, man.
That's the whole point of what I'm saying. This is not offensive fault. This is a defensive fault. This is everybody letting up off of the gas. This doesn't have anything to do with Chase's game because Chase is Chase could have just as easily went out there and did something completely different, and they still would have lost this game.
Well, I don't know that I entirely agree. I think that if he would have,
like, they would have lost this game regardless.
I think the possibility would have been less that they would have lost if Ja'Marr Chase would have had a successful game. Again, 12 for 91. I would rather have the Dallas production in their loss. Pickens, 7 for 78. CeeDee Lamb, 7 for 74. I mean, that's your top two receivers producing almost exactly the same stats. And their average is literally, George Pickens had the most. He was 11.1. It was his average on catches. I will take that over, you know, what Ja'Marr Chase did. Now, the difference is that their offense as a whole could not do enough. They just look terrible. But again, when you look at the Bengals, they by all means should have won that game. The Jets should not have a win yet. They should not have beat the Bengals to get there, especially with the fact that Bengals have done well with Joe Flacco since he's came there. I agree that the defense was a part of it and the offense did just enough. But I will say
the defense was the main part, sir. That's because we didn't spend too much time on this one game.
We need to move on.
But let's be clear. It was more than just – that was the main part of it. Out with the mercy rule. Get rid of it. It doesn't make any sense to stop scoring at certain points of the game. It doesn't. You're playing football. Well, We're playing 15-minute quarters. There should be if it's possible to get a touchdown in every quarter, then you should be getting a touchdown in every minute of every quarter of every game. There's not one reason why you're not playing to your fullest potential. I don't care about injuries and whatnot. Why? Because you're playing football. It's a part of the fucking game. Well, you don't have to edit it out. But either way, it's a part of the game.
Well, talking about teams who decided to continue to play, and even though they knew they were winning, they weren't going to stop. Let's talk about the Colts and the Titans. Shout out to the Titans and Cam Ward for putting some effort out there.
I was about to say, I don't want to down talk the Titans in this one. The Colts definitely overpowered them, but the Titans were actually putting up a fight at the beginning
of
this game.
They did. They put up a good fight.
They put up, you know, it was kind of like that little kid getting beat up in elementary school by the bigger fifth grader, you know. That fifth grader that looked like he should have been in high school already, you know.
Right.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Right. I mean, Cam Ward's in a rough spot. They don't have a running game. I'm at the end of the day, Cam Ward threw a touchdown. Spears ran for a touchdown. That shout out to them. This is a game where the Colts kept pouring it on. I get it. It's a divisional rival. I'm all for it. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, after all, they put up 14 points in the third quarter, and they were already winning like 17-7. So, I mean, you know, they needed to ensure they won that game, and they continued to do so, winning 38-14. I mean, we don't really need to talk too much about Danny Jones and Jonathan Taylor. At the end of the day, we know what they're going to do every single time. In this particular game, outside, the one thing that hurt was the four sacks on Cam Ward. Now, to be fair, they got after Daniel Jones a little bit. It's one of those rougher performances, to be honest, that we've seen from the offensive line of the Colts. But Cam Ward, they got at him four times, you know. I mean, he just doesn't have a running game. I feel for him. He is the running game. At least he needs to be. He needs somebody to step up on that team and make a difference. You know, the defense can't do much. The Colts, they're a team that I really do have to say I think might be poised for the Super Bowl, as much as I would have said differently at the beginning of the year and did say differently. Jonathan Taylor, man, him and Daniel Jones, they are a pair. Michael Pittman got himself a touchdown. Downs got himself a touchdown. Taylor got himself. Technically, he got three touchdowns because I believe he had two rushing and one receiving. You know, they got that.
They definitely had a game, and as they were supposed to. That's why I don't like having to talk about Cam Ward because I had high hopes for Ward. it's not because he. Because of who he is. It was just because I see the potential that he has. And it just sucks that it's being wasted in his rookie year. It's being wasted right now. And let's just hope that next year, new situations, maybe we can get something different out of Cam Ward. But as for Daniel Jones and the Colts, they are consistent. They do exactly what they're supposed to do in each game. There's no There's no let up. There's no, okay, well, maybe we don't need to do this. Or as long as they stay on this focus, yes, sir, you're looking at a playoff team. You're looking at a team that could give pretty much every team right now a run for their money, because not even our star teams are looking great.
No. I mean, the Colts right now are looking like the best team in the league. As much as I would argue that there are some teams that are right there with them, and there are a few. There's not many, especially in the AFC, I think, that will give the Colts a good fight.
I will never let up off the Giants. The Giants are definitely the best team in the league.
The Giants are not the best team in the league anymore.
I'd take the Giants every team against every single team in this league right now.
I can't right now. This game has to be one of the most football in general tends to be one of the most devastating sports. It's one of the best sports that's out there, but it's so devastating for players and for fans and for, you know, teams in general, like not just the players, but the teams, the injuries. Okay. The injuries are a real problem. They have become so bad. You generally find yourself just kind of wondering when the next injury is going to happen. In Cam Scadaboo, oh my goodness, man! Did you go back and look, or did you catch that live, the injury when it happened?
Yes, I did. I saw it. It looked horrible.
It was absolutely horrendous, and the reaction that came from everybody, especially from Jackson Dart, man, like he has lost his guys. Malik Nabers is out. Cam, his man, his partner in crime, his partner in war, whatever you want to call it.
Like CTE.
CTE Central for sure. Like they are the host of the CTE show. But man, like you could see the way it just devastated him to lose Cam like that. And man, I just felt like the energy just left the Giants.
That's exactly what I was gonna say, that you could definitely see how the energy got let out of their sails, and the Eagles were able to take off on them after that. Because let's be clear, the Eagles were fighting with the Eagles for a second. Yes, Saquon broke out for that 65, but Cam Scadaboo came back and had a touchdown of his own. Then they came back, Eagles scored again, but they came back with a field goal. But then we got scattered out. This is the problem. And when you lose somebody like that, it always lets the air out of a team sail.
It does. And it's not like this is their first major injury this year, you know. And when you lose rookies, it always hurts. But it really hurts when you lose rookies that you expect to be major contributors to your team. And Jackson Dart is losing weapons week after week. And Cam, you know, this is his year. It's over. I think the Giants' hopes for their season are over with this loss to the Eagles. For one, it's a nasty loss in the division that they really couldn't have afforded as it was. So I think that they are probably going to need to get put into recovery, get these guys healthy, get them back for next year. I am going to say I think Cam might be one of the few players who will bounce back just fine from this injury compared to most players, because he seems to be a dog. Yeah, he has the mentality of, I'm going to come out here and I'm just going to continue to hit you with my head. You know, my favorite part about that, and I no one ever wants to see an injury, but like for all the stuff that everybody talks about with him, he didn't get hurt with a concussion. No. It was the most lower extremity on the opposite end of the body that he wound up taking an injury on. So everybody, including probably himself, were talking and thinking about, oh, it's going to be my head or my neck or something like that. Nope. It was your ankle / lower leg. So I'm just kind of like, you know, that is the most unfortunate thing. Like if it would have been a concussion, like I think he would have been like, everybody would be like, all right, we'll see him in a couple weeks. He's fine. He'll be fine. He eats the stuff for breakfast. So it changes because,
which is dangerous, by the way. We should go ahead and
it is that. Absolutely
that is,
dangerous.
That is some of the most dangerous practice of the NFL. That's always been a thing, and we need to stop that. All right.
Well,
you
to
guys'
clarify,
brains are ending up in mush.
Well, they are, and some of this is because the old school football. You know, that we, so these guys that are playing now, these younger guys especially, you know, they grew up, they're growing up and playing in an era where, you know, safety is being taught, but they're being coached and they're being trained by these guys who played in the era where you smack each other until you couldn't. So there is still a transitional phase occurring in the world of football. Most sports for that matter, but definitely football, where the hardcore aggressive lead with your head is still, while it's not being necessarily put out there and it's being told, they're being told you shouldn't do it. You know, these guys are old school that are still doing this. They're like, yeah, look, you're going to be told not to do it, but if you want to win, this is how you do it. So the era of like concussions continues.
I get it. You know, I'm not here to be, you know, NFL advocate or nothing, but
right.
if we're gonna say something about it, we're gonna have to say something about it, and that's one of the practices that need to, you know, be looked into at the very least. But moving on, the Patriots, sir. I don't know what to say about the Patriots. They're sitting at 6-2. Drake May is looking amazing out here. All right.
He has had a phenomenal year.
I mean, he threw an interception, but he was 18 for 24 with 3 touchdowns, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Keshawn Booty. He's making him look like he's Jamar Chase out there. Keshawn Booty has scored in every game in the past at least 3 or 4. He's getting in the end zone every single time. Hunter Henry.
Having a good year.
We're talking about our tight ends. Hunter Henry had him a game.
I think he had the one catch for the touchdown, but he had
him a game. Like I said, Hunter Henry doesn't usually get any targets, but he got that one. You hear me? So
tight end day.
And then on the Brown side, sorry about that.
Yeah, that's about exactly side, what I would say from the Browns.
That yeah, exactly. It is absolutely horrible the way that the Browns keep on playing. Myles Garrett had a actual nice game, but it's overshadowed by the fact that they lost. It meant absolutely nothing. That man had five sacks and 6 mm-hmm. tackles in total. That's insanity. Again. You would think that meant that the quarterback was being pressured down. He wasn't.
No. Drake May stayed confident in the pocket, and he did his thing.
That is, let me be clear, sir. The Patriots might be a contender, too. If we're talking about teams that have potential to make something happen that you're not going to see coming, Patriots every single time. And there's a couple of people on that list, but the Patriots have got to be up there on it.
They need to make sure their running game is consistent, though, because I like Ramondre Stevenson. I think he's done pretty good so far, but they got to get some consistency. That is the biggest problem they're going to hit. The AFC is going to be a difficult. Conference this year, because you got some powerhouses in there. When we were talking about the Colts earlier, like the Patriots of this year, this isn't a Bill Belichick, Tom Brady Patriots. This is a much different era for New England Patriots. Their defense is gonna have to, like, and I'm talking like playoff time, but right now, if I were to put the Patriots and the Colts up against each other, I don't think the Colts are going to lose that game. I'm just saying. I think the Bills could beat them. I think it would be a little bit different this year, but I do think that at the end of the day, the Bills would beat the Patriots. If I was to talk about, just within the division. You know, the Patriots might beat the Dolphins or the Jets, but the Bills are going to give them a run for their money. Pittsburgh will give them a run for their money. We'll see how Jacksonville shakes out. I don't think they will either way, but the Colts definitely would. Right now, Denver, Los Angeles, Kansas City, all of these teams are more than capable of getting a win, just as much as it could go the other way. I think if I were to pick out of these teams that I've mentioned, I feel confident that the Chiefs would beat them, the Chargers would beat them, the Colts would probably stomp them. The Steelers could beat them. The Bills could beat them. I mean, we're talking about Drake May and the New England Patriots. They are a good team, but they are not. I don't think they're the team that's going to win a Super Bowl right now. I think they can get pretty far, but I don't think that they would make it past the AFC Championship.
I always have faith in that underdog team that is performing better. More on a more consistent level than the teams that we're expecting. So you're talking about the Steelers. I mean, Steelers, they just took them a
look. They just lost and to my boys.
They were supposed to, though. And if you looked at that game, the reason why they did, it was pretty apparent. Because the Packers didn't perform very well in that game, sir, by the way. I know the score looks good. Against another team, a lot of that stuff wouldn't have flew.
Well, I disagree. The Packers have been doing this all year. It's actually one of the reasons why we're one of the higher teams in the league right now. We've only really lost one game, and that's exactly what the Packers have done. We are like the Broncos right now. We win games, close games, kind of ugly games.
You're going to tell me that ugly performance that they put up would have flew up against the Bills?
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I flew up against the Colts. That would have flew up. No, it wouldn't have, sir. And we
to
both
be fair, I don't think anything's going to fly against the Colts. There ain't no team, I think, right now that's going to fly against the Colts. There ain't no performances that are matching them. The only reason the Colts have lost a game is they played sloppy against the Rams. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. So,
I don't think that – I get the win was the win, and it was a win nonetheless. But on the same token, I don't think that game was,
was a storyline performance. It wasn't. It was a storyline game. It was the Packers, Jordan Love, the passing of the torch from Rodgers to him. It was the passing of the torch where we see what is probably the signaling of the end for Rodgers. He's already declared about going to the Packers to do his little retirement contract where he signs with them and retires. Like, we know this is the twilight for Aaron Rodgers, and it makes sense. Rodgers has beat every team in the league except for the Packers. Jordan Love ensured that didn't happen, and I think that what this by virtue of this type of game, this is the storyline. Aaron Rodgers is with the team that he beat for his one and only Super Bowl. He played against the team and lost to the team that he was quarterbacking for that got him that Super Bowl. The passing of the torch has been complete. Jordan Love got the win. He did exactly what he had to do. The Packers did what they had to do against a tough team who is one of the better teams in the league right now. By no means did we lose to a poor team. It wasn't just a sloppy performance. It was a good performance, especially in the second half. It was a performance that did exactly what it needed to do. We're not talking about, you know, the game right now that's going on between the Chiefs and the Commanders, where the Chiefs are barely winning 14-7, sloppy looking game from both sides. And that this is a performance that doesn't pass muster with anybody. The Chiefs, no. But what the Packers did, absolutely it would pass. Again, this was a storyline game. I think that there was a lot of emotions from both sides. There's history here that dates all the way back to 2010 and before that, but I mean definitely 2010 and the Super Bowl and the quarterback situation. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's been a lot of storyline games this year, and a few of them have involved the Packers, Micah Parsons, and the Cowboys. But nothing will involve a storyline game, a legendary performance, a legendary game, than Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers taking on Jordan Love, his replacement, the man that took his spot, that he trained him for, that he trained, he put time and effort into, and he passed the torch. Jordan Love has officially secured his spot as the legend, the next legend in Green Bay. Unless something happens to him, this is it. And this game, that victory, that was the most important thing. It wasn't about how they won, it was getting it. Green Bay needed it. The fans needed it. As a fan, I needed to see that. I was so glad to see Rodgers perform when he did. But I was very happy to see that at the end of the game, that score, 35-25, Green Bay won on the road. And it wasn't just about beating Pittsburgh. It was about beating Aaron Rodgers. It was about the torch being passed and Jordan Love doing exactly what he needed to do. And we know that our future with him is now secured in Green Bay.
Sir, I almost shed a tear over here. You just choked me up. That is so beautiful. And I could tell you said that with all conviction.
Indeed I did, sir.
That's it. And it is absolutely ridiculous. The fact of the matter is, that game was sloppy. I get it. As a fan, that's why I let you just go.
How
I
wasn't going to interrupt you. 360 yards, three touchdowns, zero interceptions. As Tucker Kraft had, talking about tight ends, Tucker Kraft.
That's because the Steelers played horribly, sir.
No, they
horribly
didn't.
And Tucker Kraft, take away Tucker Kraft, that game does not happen that way. Like, what?
Sir.
He was the only one that made a difference. I swear, there was nobody else that performed well. Christian Watson caught one pass for good yardage.
Look, Christian Watson, we're not even going to talk about, because Christian Watson just came back. And by the way,
did absolutely nothing.
Christian Watson, four catches, 85 yards. He caught,
I said he got one catch for good yardage. One catch.
Four for 85.
And one of those was got most of those yardages, sir. I'm telling you, that is not.
Currently, was his longest yard, the longest one. He still had another 52 yards after that.
Oh my gosh, sir! If you add,
I'm just telling you, you said that
most of those yardages. That's what I said. I said that one catch got most of those yardage.
I'm just saying, you said it was a sloppy game.
It was definitely that was not good. I don't care.
That was a phenomenal game by Jordan Love and the Packers, having a very clean game against a defense that was very hungry, and they wanted to take it away. Aaron Rodgers performed pretty well. However, he spent some time on the ground. And again, shout out to our defense. He threw two touchdowns, no interceptions, a very clean Aaron Rodgers type of game. However, in Aaron Rodgers fashion, the second half is his downfall. DK Metcalf had himself a game. 5 for 55 for a touchdown. Again, though, still not enough. Gainwell fumbled a ball that didn't help him. That was a big one, actually. But I disagree with you on it. It wasn't a sloppy game by the Green Bay. In fact, it was a well-rounded game. The only reason this game could be remotely considered sloppy was because it took us winning it in the fourth quarter. But that's, at the end of the day, I say it over and over, and I'll say it over and over again. Games are won in the second half. That is something Green Bay. That is something Green Bay has struggled with for a long time. But I'm right. And I am right. This was a phenomenal game. We came out in the second half because you said it was such a bad performance. The defense, Steelers defense didn't do good. They did. The first half, Steelers were winning. They were leading. It was 16-7 going into the half, sir. I should say that their defense did really well, and I watched it. It was a rough start, and you knew it was going to be rough. Aaron Rodgers was going to have the better start. We're talking about a man who quarterbacked for that team for years and had several of those guys still on that he played with them. Jordan Love ain't played with the Steelers. Aaron Rodgers played with the Packers, and he knew the Packers. He knows LaFleur. He knows the play style. He knows the playbook. There is no question that Rodgers is a legitimate threat to the Packers. Any quarterback that goes anywhere that plays against a team that they played with for years is a legitimate threat because they know the playbook. However,
at this point, I'm trying to figure out who you're trying to convince, but me or yourself. Because you ain't convincing me.
I'm not convincing anybody. I'm explaining why you're wrong. That's all I'm doing.
I'm not.
And I'm letting the fans out here understand that second half is where games are won. They're not won in the first. We've seen it time and time again this year. The Broncos put up 33 points in a fourth quarter, sir. Again, they won the game in the fourth quarter, which is in the second half. Games are won not by virtue of the fact that a game ends at the end of the second half, typically, although there is overtime. Games are won in the second half or lost in the second half. You can't guarantee anything coming out of even a big lead. You've watched it in college, and we know in college, if you're up big in the first half, at the end of the first half, it's over. But then we've seen it happen. Big leads just disappear. Okay. So I understand your point when it comes to some of this being sloppy, but you're talking about the Green Bay Packers who put things together, and they did exactly what they needed to do in the second half, and they did it perfectly. Drawn up, executed, boom. So I'm just saying, and you know what? You know what? We talked about my team. Let me talk about this. Your Dolphins, phenomenal. Too bad.
Okay, I was about to say because my Dolphins did great.
You realize though, if we want to talk about teams and performances, you are going up against the Falcons, who have Kirk Cousins, who basically at this point he's a stand-in, he's a fill-in for Michael Penix, who is also not that great of a quarterback. Bijan ran 9 times, 25 yards. He killed me on a couple of parlays, sir. I don't understand. There's nothing to be proud of. There's nothing to be proud of here. Y'all won a game that, by all intents and purposes, you had no reason not to. This is almost an irrelevant game that means nothing in the grand scheme of things, because you went up against the Falcons, who I don't even need to say anything further, because at this point,
don't. If you guys, I will. Tua threw 20 for 26, 4 touchdowns. I can't. Icham only had 67 yards, but guess what? Big Waddle had 99 yards with a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Let's get it.
Now that is a 97-yard performance that is done well.
I don't care what you're talking about, sir. Let me finish flexing for my team, since you want to talk about some old foolishness with patching the torch with yours.
It's not a flex when you blow out one of the weakest teams in the league.
Don't care what you're talking about. We won in phenomenal fashion. So that's all that matters to me. And Tua had him a nice game. He might be
his only good game for the rest of the year.
We'll see about that, sir. We might go undefeated for the rest of the year. You don't ever know.
Oh my God.
if you can be delusional about your team, I can be delusional about mine.
Sir, my team's record and my team stats prove that I'm not delusional. You, however, I don't even know what to say to what you said there, because I'll be honest with you, like, there's nothing here that would tell me that you guys are going to win more than maybe two or three more games. Considering that it's just now took this happening to get you guys a second win into week eight, getting a second win when your schedule is it's not good for it looking, sir. I would say maybe Baltimore, but to be entirely honest, once Lamar's back, I'm pretty sure they're going to go on a tear. Y'all aren't beating Buffalo. Washington, to be honest, we'll see how things look. They're not doing good tonight. That might be your next win. You'll win a bye week. You know, week 12 is your bye week, so you'll get a win there, I would hope.
Oh, shut up.
In week 13, you got the Saints, and right now the Saints aren't looking too good. Want to say shout out to our boy Tyler Shook. He did not have a good performance, but he got a lot of reps in this game because Spencer Rattler, as I've been saying all year, is trash. So he came out there, got himself a decent amount of time, and I think almost all the second half. I watched some of that, and he looked good in some moments. Just unfortunately, you're talking about the Saints, a team that's not good at all, really. Alvin Kamara didn't do anything, so that didn't help. Y'all got the Jets, who, let's be honest, you know, this might be your three games in a row here. You got the Commanders in week 11. You'll have a bye week in week 12. You'll get the Saints in 13. Depends on how things are going for them there. The Jets just got themselves a nasty win against the Bengals. They could be on a turnaround, so you could drop that game, too. It's a divisional game. Then you got the Steelers.
Hold on, wait. The winless Jets could be on a turnaround, but my team can't be on a turnaround?
Sir, the fact that y'all beat a terrible team that has no reason to or no capability of winning, you are correct. Drake London was out. Michael Penix was beaten on brand ball nine times. Sir, your defense did its job perfectly. Your offense did its job perfectly. But yet the Falcons, they did nothing. So they're irrelevant. Jets, do I seriously believe they're on a turnaround? No. However, do I believe they could beat the Dolphins? Actually, if everyone's healthy, yes. I actually think Breece Hall would demolish your guys' defense. Week 15, you got Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers is going to absolutely show Tua what it's like to be a real quarterback. Week 16, you got the Bengals. We'll have to see which Joe is quarterback at that time. Will it be Joe Flacco or will it be old Joe Burrow? Because neither Joe is too young these days. Either quarterback, if the receiving corps is healthy and the running game's going like it has been this week, even with the loss, hey, again, I think Dolphins drop. You got the Bucs in week 17. Let's be clear. I think by week 17, Bucs will be benching most of their starters.
Let's be clear, y'all. Y'all take Ben's money line advice and you shall lose. Clearly. He's delusional. He's
probably going to get a major, major payout because you know they're going to want to like stack it the other way. They're not going to sit there and be like, oh, yeah, we're going to give you this type of money for real. So we're gonna make it, you know. We're going to have to do something to make sure that Vegas, of course, comes out with a little bit of money. But I'm just telling y'all, where there's a bend, there's a way. That's it, right?
Yeah, you said it right, but wrong. That's all in the same motion.
You are incorrect. Yeah, I'm telling you, you're lucky to win four out of the rest of the season.
We're going to close out the show right there because we're running out of time anyway.
Oh, yeah, definitely went over.
You're clearly delusional at this point. The Chiefs are now 21-7 on the Commanders.
They're doing their thing.
As I said, they're more than likely going to win this by a nice little.
There is one other thing I don't want to get into it per se. Well, a couple other things. The Ravens, they got themselves a second win. I think it was destined to happen. The Bears are going to fall, and I think this is where it starts. So shout out to the Ravens without Lamar at that. Derrick Henry had himself a little game. The Bills demolished the Panthers. That was one of the games I was a little concerned about. But the Bills did what the Bills needed to do. The game that surprised me, I think, more than anything, yes, the Ravens, who have a really bad record, winning should be that game, but they're not. It is, of course, the Texans beating the 49ers. Now, the 49ers are weaker right now. They're not fully put together. They're struggling to find their identity completely. A lot of it's behind Christian McCaffrey. Mac Jones has had a bit of a slide. And I think that the Texans took full advantage of the issues. And not that Mac Jones had a terrible game, but a lot of it came down to the fact, I think, that Christian McCaffrey ran eight times. That's it, eight times for 25 yards. They had the 10, they ran the ball 10 times as a team between McCaffrey and Jones, 10 for 48. So the Texans got an upset on a team that has been, up until recently, doing really well. I think that the Niners are going to continue to slide a little bit until they kind of re-identify where they need, what direction they're headed in. So as far as that, that's all I've got on football, because, I mean, at the end of the day, the Broncos beat the Cowboys. Didn't see it coming, but at the same time, I kind of thought it could happen.
I didn't see it happening the way that it did.
I'll be honest with you. The Broncos are looking good. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team, but they are definitely a playoff caliber team.
I don't think the Broncos are looking that good. I just think that the Cowboys are
They're starting to shape up.
I'm not saying that the Broncos are horrible. I'm saying that I think the Cowboys are actually that fucking bad. Like,
oh, I 100% agree. I 100% agree. Okay. So, real quick, just want to, I know we said we were going to touch on hockey. So, if you're good with it, I'm just going to real quick run over a couple of the top teams in the league right now.
Let's get it.
Okay. Currently sitting in, of course, at number one is the New Jersey Devils. They're actually having themselves a pretty good little season right now. 9 games played. They're 8-1 on the season. They put up 16 points. They're doing phenomenal, actually. Of course, then in second place, you can't count them out, even though I wasn't expecting it. Utah Mammoths, they themselves have played 10 games. They're 8-2. They have also put up 16 points. In third place, a classic throwback team that used to be one of the most dominant teams and looks like they are currently trying to make a push for that again, Pittsburgh Penguins. I've seen more times they've been holding the Stanley Cup more than a few times over the years. As somebody who lived near Pittsburgh for many, many, many years, over a decade, in fact, it actually was rather ridiculous watching how many times you would see the Penguins trying to get in there to the Stanley Cup. So, but shout out to them. They played 10 games. They're 7-2 on the year. 7-2-1, I guess. But shout out to them. They put up 15 points on the year offensively. Those are the top three teams with the best records. Colorado's in at fourth. The Canadiens are in at fifth. Sixth is the Golden Knights. The Hurricanes are in seven. Golden Knights are actually doing okay. The Hurricanes are doing okay. They actually have one of the better records right now, towards the bottom half of the top 10. They've played 8 games. They're 6-2. They put up 12 points. The Jets at 9th, the Capitals are at 9th, and then the Red Wings at 10th. One of the things I want to briefly point out is our reigning champs. They are at 15th right now. They are 5-5 on the year. And to clarify, reigning back-to-back champions, the Florida Panthers. I will say, I did not anticipate that start to the season. I kind of expected a little bit more. I've been getting into Seattle Kraken. They are, of course, what I think the newest team now in the league. This is only, what, their second or third year. Been watching a lot of their games. So I will say I haven't watched as many of the Panthers, but I've caught a few of their games, and you can tell they are a little bit struggling. They have only put up 10 points, and all these teams that I've listed off above them have put up more than them. So for what it's worth, I don't know that our reigning champs are looking too good to start the year off. Obviously, in the Eastern Conference, top three teams, the Devils, the Penguins, and the Canadiens. And in the Western Conference, of course, it is the Mammoth, Avalanche, and Golden Knights. So I don't know. I just thought that was something interesting. Panthers have a lot of work to get up towards the top to try to, you know, make a little splash right now in the Eastern Conference. They are at seventh in the conference.
I mean, well, they were entertaining last year. Maybe it's time for somebody else to take a little turn at it. You know, it's nothing to be ashamed of. The Celtics are looking at the exact same thing. If we're looking at basketball, the Celtics champions last, almost champions last year. And literally were looking like they were on the track to be in that team. But, you know, stuff happens, and now they are low ranking on the totem pole in my eyes. And I'm a Celtics fan.
I think it's time for... No, and they're back-to-back champs. They don't need to go for a three-peat. Ain't nobody want to see that. To be honest with you, if I was to pick a team out of the 32 teams in the NHL right now, and I know probably ain't going to happen, but if I was to pick a team right now, I'd probably be the Bruins or maybe the Ducks. I always was kind of a fan of the Ducks. I don't know why. I just, when I was a kid, I remember looking at all the teams, and I don't know.
It's the Mighty Ducks, sir. It's the Mighty Ducks. That's why every kid saw the Mighty Ducks on Disney Channel, and the Anaheim Ducks give you that exact same feel. That's it.
Andrew, and speaking of that, I mean, tomorrow they play the Panthers, so maybe I'll have to catch it and, you know, catch that game, tune in and catch it. I don't know. We'll see what they do. I mean, they got some good scorers. They got Marchand and Gauthier, I believe. Cutter Gauthier, I believe that's how one might pronounce that. And you know what? I'm here for it. And Brad Marchand. You know what? These guys have some crazy epic names. Shout out to them. I don't think I can pronounce half the guys' names that play in the NHL, but it's okay. I don't have to. But you know what? I'm here for it. Anaheim Ducks, let's get it. This is your year. You know, granted, you guys are sitting at 20th in the league right now. 8 games with a 4-3-1 record. I don't feel too confident that you're going to turn that around anytime soon. But, hey, where there's a possibility, there's a way. And it starts with beating the reigning back-to-back champs tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern time at Florida.
All right, sir. With that being said, we're going to close out this episode, you guys. We love to hear from you guys. We're definitely going to be running these episodes for a lot longer than maybe you guys realize, because we don't hear from you. So please make sure that we hear from you. We love to hear your input and let us know how we're doing and what we can do to improve it. Ben, you got anything else to say?
Indeed, I do. Go Packers and good night.
Yeah, you can have that Go Packers, but it doesn't make a difference. All right.
Indeed.
If your team's sloppy, your team's sloppy.
No.
With that being said, y'all, peace.